Madanese, in detail. Indian Ocean countries are mourning the victims of the tsunami waves that hit the region on December 26 last year, killing more than 180,000 people. Survivors and victims' families are attending memorial ceremonies in many places across the region. In the Indonesian province of Aceh, people offered silent prayers for the victims at 8:16 a.m., the exact time that the first tsunami wave hit the region. Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono called on the survivors to continue their rebuilding efforts and to remember the many people who were killed. About 80% of the residents of the coastal area of Banda Aceh have either died or their whereabouts remain unknown. In the southern Thai island of Phuket, about 100 family members of victims, mainly from Australia, gathered on a beach to offer prayers and throw flowers into the ocean. A memorial service sponsored by the Thai government began at 10 a.m., the exact time when tsunami waves first hit the Thai coast a year ago. People from various countries are attending ceremonies to mourn relatives who lost their lives while they were on vacation. Memorial services are scheduled throughout the day in several other countries, including Sri Lanka. Japan's Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi has sent a message to Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono to express his sympathy for the victims of the Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami on the first anniversary of the tragedy. Mr. Koizumi also expressed hope that the affected areas will be rebuilt soon. Japan and Indonesia will hold a ministerial meeting next month to discuss how Japan can assist Indonesia in disaster prevention. Japanese Chairman of the National Public Safety Commission, Tetsuo Kutsukage, and Indonesian Welfare Minister, Abrizal Bakri, will attend the meeting in Tokyo on January 11th. The ministers will discuss how to set up and operate seismometers and tsunami warning systems, as well as ways to educate the people in charge of disaster prevention. They will also consider how Japan can assist in raising awareness on disaster preparedness. Another passenger has been confirmed dead in the train derailment accident in northern Japan, raising the death toll to 4, while 33 people, including the driver, suffered injuries and are now being treated in hospital. The accident occurred shortly after the six-car train crossed a bridge over the Mogami River in Yamagata Prefecture after 7 on Sunday evening. All six cars derailed and three of them toppled onto their side and slammed into a barn beside the railway track. Three passengers had been confirmed dead in the accident by early Monday. Rescue workers pulled out one man from the wreckage early Monday morning, but he was later pronounced dead. Police quoted the train driver as saying that the train levitated around the bridge when it was hit by strong winds and the train leaned gradually leftward while going forward. The train conductor told the police that he felt a sudden strong impact just after the train passed through the bridge over the river. He said the train then suddenly stopped and the lights went off. East Japan Railway, the operator of a derailed express train, said they did not detect a wind speed that required the driver to reduce train speed at around the time of the accident. The company stated at a news conference that an alarm was activated in the train control center at around 7:16 p.m. on Sunday, about 2 minutes after the train was believed to have derailed. The alarm indicated that a wind speed of over 70 kilometers per hour was registered at the time, although the wind speed did not exceed 90 kilometers per hour that requires the train to reduce its speed. Chief Cabinet Secretary Shinzo Abe has stressed that Japan will not normalize diplomatic ties with North Korea unless the abduction issue is resolved. Mr. Abe spoke on Monday, one day after Japan and North Korea agreed to resume normalization talks in parallel with discussions on the abduction of Japanese nationals and security issues. Mr. Abe said the two sides agreed to make sincere efforts and study specific measures to resolve pending problems, including the abductions. Mr. Abe called the abduction the most important issue and said the Japanese government will continue to make utmost efforts to achieve tangible progress on the problem. Mr. Abe said it is a firm principle of the government that it will not normalize diplomatic relations with North Korea without the resolution of the abduction issue. He assured that normalization talks will not take precedence over the abduction issue. After the talks in Beijing on Sunday, North Korea's chief delegate Song Il-ho told reporters that North Korea welcomes the agreement reached with Japan to improve bilateral ties. He also said that if Japan insists the abduction issue has not been resolved yet, it will be necessary for both sides to clarify what has and has not been resolved in face-to-face talks. He added that North Korea is ready to discuss such issues as nuclear and ballistic missile programs with Japan even before the next round of six-party talks, if necessary. North Korea had previously asserted that the security issue will only be discussed with the United States. Now here's a frequency notice. You are listening to Radio Japan, broadcasting on 15.195, 17.810 and 21.755 megahertz. This transmission is being relayed to the western part of North America via Sackville, Canada on 6.110 megahertz. It is also being relayed to Europe via Rampersham, England on 5.975 megahertz and Wooferton, England on 7.230 megahertz. Now back to the news. The holding company of 7-Eleven convenience store and Ito Yokado supermarket chain will merge with the Seibu department store group, becoming the world's fifth largest retailing group. On Monday, the board of directors at 7&I Holdings decided to buy a 65% stake in the Millennium Retailing Group from a Nomura Securities investment affiliate for about 130 billion yen, or about 1.1 billion.